grains were mixed, but most were slightly higher. Livestock futures were mixed, but mostly lower. An optimism about a refiring of the U.S. economy set equities and energies solidly higher. Traders are suddenly turning a bit bullish on demand. Oh, yeah, and there's another record in box beef prices.
Live from various places and George Orwell's laboratory, yeah. This is AgriTalk. As we're dealing with some new systems here, I'm John Harris. Chip Flory, here's your host. Yes. I don't know what else is going on today, Chip.
I got you covered there, man. I got you covered. Right after the news, we're going to get perspective on price action from Joe Vakulevic. He's with Standard Grain. And then later in the show, our today's guest analyst is Craig Van Dyke. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Craig. It's always fun to talk with Craig, but when we've got a situation like we've got going on in the livestock trade right now, it's going to be very interesting to talk with Craig. He's kind of a cattleman at heart, and it'll be fun to get his take on what's happening in the beef trade, and in the live cattle trade. So should be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it should be.
Yep. Rainy weather. We got some rainy weather. We got some cold weather. We had both here today.
Did you?
Most producers are going to say, yeah, you know what? I'll go ahead and take the moisture, but you could warm things up a little bit. There are guys in the northern plains that are saying, turn the faucets off. We don't need any more rain. And some of those areas up there, John, I meant to talk about it this morning, but some of the areas up there got like 2.5-3 inches of rain.
Holy smokes.
Might be done.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah, they might be done for the year with field work in some areas up there in North Dakota and even in northern South Dakota. So really kind of an ugly situation up there. We're going to have Mike Appert, a farmer from North Dakota, on the Farmer Forum tomorrow morning. So we'll find out what the situation is for Mike. But I've got a feeling it's not really good. So, all right, you want to hit the news for me?
Sure. USDA rates 55% of the U.S. winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition. That's up 1 point from last week, but well below last year's 64%. USDA also dropped the wheat crop rated poor to very poor by 1 point to 14%, which is above last year's 8%. The slight improvements put the wheat market on the defensive in overnight trade. Spring wheat planting progress jumped 15 points from last week to 29% complete, but that is well behind the five-year average planting pace of 43%. July hard red winter wheat was 3 cents lower at 484. July soft red firmed a penny and a quarter to 520 3/4. And hopefully, Chip, you've got July spring because I don't.
You bet. I can hit you with that here real quick. July spring wheat up 2 cents at 510 1/4. That planting pace on the spring wheat is a little concerning. We can talk about that with Mike tomorrow morning. Plus, when we get Craig on here, we'll talk some about the planting pace. We've got to, because of what we're going to hear about next, and that is an awfully quick pace on corn.
Yes, it is. On the supply side of the corn market, USDA says 51% of the corn crop has been planted, up 24 points from the last week and well ahead of the five-year average of 39% planted by May 3rd. On the demand side of the market, old crop corn export sales of 45,000 metric tons and new crop sales of 64,000 tons were reported this morning. Both sales were to Mexico. Corn traders also noted strong gains in crude oil and unleaded gas futures as a source of support for prices, as many now anticipate increased fuel use, including ethanol, in the weeks ahead. May corn futures were 2.25 cents higher at 313. July corn firmed a penny and a half to 317. December corn closed at 334 1/4, up 0.25 cents on the day.
Yeah, the whole refiring of the economy. We had ethanol futures. We're up a couple of pennies today for the May contract. June was up like 4.5 cents, something like that. So we are starting to see some strength come into energies. Crude oil up more than $4. So it's really looking pretty good.
Well, that's good. Good news for that beleaguered ethanol industry. But still a long way to go. Soybean oil futures also traded higher today on support from the strong gains in U.S. energy futures. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 136,000 metric tons of old crop and 242,000 tons of new crop soybeans to China. Bean traders, however, were also reminded of strong competition from Brazil when the country reported it shipped 16.3 million metric tons of beans to China in April. That's a new single-month record and was up 73% from April last year.
Wow.
Soybean plantings in the U.S. are now 23% complete, more than double the five-year average pace of 11% planted by May 3rd. Maybe in futures were 4.25 cents higher at 838. Ooh, about to give somebody a heart attack there.
Wow.
838 and a quarter. July beans firmed 3 cents to 839 and a half. November bean futures closed at 846 and a half, up 0.75 cents.
Yeah, that is tough situation right there when we're talking about the amount of beans that are coming out of Brazil. So we're just having a tough time competing with that.
Yeah, indeed. Live cattle futures open higher on support from record box beef prices, but reduced kill capacity quickly weighed on prices. In morning trade, heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices surged 12.5 bucks to 422.57. June live cattle were $1.60 lower at 86.47.5. August cattle dropped 60 cents to 92.45. May feeders were 52.5 cents higher at 119.60. And hog slaughter on Monday was 11,000 head below last Monday. Reduced slaughter capacity is supporting pork prices, but it was a source of pressure on lean hog futures. June lean hogs fell 122.5 to 64.27.5. July hogs dropped 2.5 bucks to 62.92.5.
Yeah, that big move once again in the box beef prices. It did help the market trade higher early in the session, but boy, it backed off later in the day. All right. Hey, let's bring in Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain, get some perspective on what's going on in the markets. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. How are you, Chip?
Doing all right. What do you think? We got some strength coming back into corn, some strength in the energies. Is that going to be enough to get things moving?
I hope so. What I'm pretty sure of is that you're going to see one of the most bearish-looking corn reports you've ever seen from USDA on Tuesday in respect to these new crop balance sheets. They're going to use that big acreage number. They're going to use a big trend line yield. I don't know how aggressive they're going to be with ethanol demand cuts, but it's going to be ugly. What I'm hoping for is that we see that report, we shrug it off, and we're able to post some sort of spring, early summer rally here. That would be the optimistic view.
Yeah, certainly would be. Certainly would. Take me over to the livestock trade. What's your general take there, Joe?
Well, at this point, I mean, you want to see the box beef market start to go lower. I mean, that's what we need to see. The higher box beef is evidence that the processing isn't there. And we need the processing to come back, which would reduce the box beef prices, help to prop up cattle prices and get things back to some sort of normal-ish state. We're not going to return directly to normal, but maybe something that resembles normal.
Yeah. It would sure be nice to be back in a position like that. And then on the hog side of things, like John just said, hog slaughter off 11,000 head from last month. Yesterday, it was off 11,000 from last Monday. That trend's going in the wrong direction, too.
Yeah, it's a similar story, but I don't mind how the board is acting necessarily. You've had a pretty nice bounce, really, off of those early April lows, and I don't know if that continues or not, but the hog futures have maybe acted a little bit better versus, say, the cattle futures.
Gotcha. All right, Joe, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We will talk with you again next week.
Yep, see you, Chip. Bye.
All right, that's Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Craig Van Dyke from Top Third Ag Marketing. We're going to jump into what's happening in this energy market and slide right over to livestock. That's next here on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields. All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Floria. I understand that we are having some troubles.
Are we?
Yeah, we are, is what I understand, Davis.
Yes, I understand that as well. I've restarted my machine. Should we start again?
No, I think you should just stay right where you're at because I can hear you. You sound good to me.
I feel good.
I'm not sure about our audio going out to the stations right now. I think we might be struggling a bit with that.
Okay.
And the audio going to the app. But we're getting it recorded. We are getting it recorded, and we're going to soldier on here and hopefully.
So we're speaking directly into the bold new future right now. Is that what you're saying? Hello, later today.
Yeah, that might be. So, okay, let's go ahead and bring in Craig Van Dyke. Like I said, we're gonna soldier on. We will get this recorded, and it will go out on the podcast this afternoon, and hopefully we can get our audio issues straightened out for the affiliates out there before we get too much deeper into this afternoon show. Craig Van Dyke, Top Third Ag Marketing. How you doing, buddy?
Hola, Senor Chip. I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I think, you know, in this environment, you know, there'll be plenty of tequila flowing around. You know, we don't need much of an excuse anymore with the way things are going. But, yeah, a lot happening, plenty to talk about. You need about an extra 3 hours, I think, here lately to get everything wrapped up every day, it seems, on your show.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do. We really do, because you get to the end of the show and you realize, geez, we didn't talk about this. Geez, we didn't talk about that. And it does turn into a bit of an issue, just trying to keep up with everything that we've got to get covered out here. Let's jump into the energy trade here, Craig. I know you wanted to talk about that. And the price strength that we're seeing right now, I mean, it's got to be built on optimism that we are going to see some increased travel in the weeks ahead, right?
That's exactly right. And you know, one reason I kind of wanted to start with just discussing this crude market is I think there's a number of parallels to the ag sector. Obviously, ethanol is, you know, a direct correlation. But, you know, we got crude up $4 here today and you know, percentage-wise, 20%, well, big deal when you're coming off of zero. But the reason I wanted to kind of discuss is just to say, you know, after what we saw in the crude situation a couple weeks back, they're trading, you know, negative 40 bucks. To me, it's a bit of an eye opener that kind of shifts the paradigm of risk lately. And, you know, everybody's 2 cents right now is probably worth about a half cent, because it's hard to be an expert when you're dealing in a situation we've never had to deal with. And so I want to bring a little positivity and say, look, as negative and ugly as things are, we're all in this boat together. And for me, you know, the crude situation just kind of speaks that the risk is still very real. And right now the risk, you know, the optimism today has led us up really to the 50-day moving average on the chart. So I look at it more technically, and I think technical price action perspective is what you need to utilize to try to assess just what in the world is going on in all these ag markets.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. I like what you said. If you're in the middle of something that you've never experienced before, lean on and rely on what you do have experience with and what you do understand. In a lot of cases, that's going to be the chart work. I think that makes perfect sense, Craig.
Exactly. And that's kind of the transition I wanted to take into the livestock side of things. Obviously, there's a lot of noise, a lot of heated conversation as to what's the best way to move about this. And, you know, when I look at it from a market standpoint, you know, nothing is normal right now. So why would we expect markets to be normal? And they're not. Right. And so I've kind of, you know, using some of the data here, I mean, I'm looking, you know, feeder total open interest is at 4-year lows. Hog open interest is hovering around 3-year lows. Live cattle total open interest is around 4-year lows. What does this tell me? It says people are standing on the sidelines saying there's too much risk. We don't want to be involved right now. The big players are stepping to the side. And to me, that feeds on itself, right? So the lower open interest, the lack of information, fundamental information, the lack of a cash market, we'll say, for really both hogs and cattle, feeds on itself, and that's why we're seeing these moves. We just had a 30-cent rally in May hogs. We just had a 20-cent rally in front month summer hogs. You know, we're going to have these 10, 15, 20 cent swings in this livestock sector until we really can start to find, more comfortable guidance out of this corona situation.
Okay. So how in the world do you manage the risk then in cattle and hog trade, Craig? If we're going to see these kinds of swings like you're talking about, I guess you probably go back to your charts, don't you?
Well, that's a big part of it. And be very honest. It's not easy. I've found it extremely difficult in this environment to give, exciting recommendations as to when to get in, when to get out, how to utilize a strategy. With the markets moving as big as they are, and when you look at, implied volatility for options, you look at, the maintenance requirements for margins for futures, there's a lot of hard decisions that had to be made extremely fast when it comes to the market. And so a lot of the conversation we're trying to have with guys is, look, let's get an idea of where you're at, where you need to be, and let's start to see what tools work best for you. And it's difficult in this environment when, cash flows are tight or non-existent. How do you get a guy in a marginable position just to try to protect equity if you can't, don't want to mess up the borrowing base, want to leave ourselves open for opportunity if it ever comes. So it's extremely difficult to utilize the tools available right now with the speed that we're moving. To be able to be, effective in managing risk at this point.
Craig, aggressive do guys want to get on offsetting their downside price risk on cattle and hogs right now? Is it something that they're even thinking about?
I think you have to be thinking about it constantly at this point because of the big swings we're having. Have been providing some brief opportunities here and there. And I think this across the entire ag sector. You have to sit down and look and say, okay, here's what I need to do to make it through the year. Can I do it? How can I achieve it? To have that plan in place is just crucial to being able to execute it, because otherwise you're just shooting from the hip. You look across all the commodities right now, well, the ag commodities specifically, nothing is exciting. But here's what I got to ask. Did we just get out of the first wave, the first meltdown there in April? And if this corona continues to linger another couple months, the quarantine's opening back up. Maybe people are starting to move back towards normal. If it continues to take a little bit longer than normal, are we due for a second wave? And, I think this crude situation, we'll see a little bit of light here when the June contract comes into delivery. Not a whole lot has changed. Yes, there's optimism. And optimism in a lower, lower liquidity, low volume, everybody's scared type of market is going to produce these big swings. But that optimism in this environment is getting shot down in a hurry. And a lot of years, if we were in this type of situation, excluding COVID, I'd say, boy, it's hard to be much more bearish now, this is max bearishness. I'm getting the panic calls. Everyone's scared. This is a time to buy. But this year, this environment, it's preserving capital at all costs and saying, if we're going to rally, great. Let's let it rally. But let's not sit on our hands and say this can't get any worse. And, negative $40 crude just changes my mindset for just where in the world risk can head. Wow. So, let's talk a little bit about the fundamental side, though, the cattle and hogs.
Go for it.
There is some light there. I mean, to me, the hog market, did just have a nice pop. What makes it extremely difficult is the lack of cash negotiation going on right now. We've got such a small amount of hogs setting the price for the futures market.
Yeah.
It makes these, we're seeing daily ranges of $3 to $4 easily. And that makes it, the lack of cash negotiation difficult to interpret what a market's supposed to do. you know, we've got some high hog weights right now. But, you know, I'll say this, you know, we're euthanizing hogs. Sow slaughter is up. And there's some stuff towards the back end of the curve that we might be able to talk about in the next segment.
Okay, you bet. Let's come back and talk about that, that sow slaughter and what that might mean for us in the future. Plus, we got to get to the planting progress numbers and crop condition on winter wheat, what that might be telling us about how these markets are going to perform going forward. We've got Craig Van Dyke from Top Third on AgriTalk. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers first thing today. INTL FC Stone raises the Brazilian soybean crop estimate but cuts the Safrina corn crop estimate. France continues to export wheat at a brisk clip. Ukraine still sees no need to limit corn exports. Decision on 2020-21 wheat shipments will come in July. Germany challenges ECB's bond buying authority. The SBA reopened IEDL portal for ag producers only. You guys, you've now got those economic injury disaster loans available to you again. Ottawa is expected to unveil emergency coronavirus aid for the agriculture sector. Check out all the Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Hey, hit me up, Scott. Let me know. Appreciate the messages here. Welcome back. Welcome back to... yeah, okay.
Are we back?
Thank you, Scott.
What do you say? What's it say?
Well, we're just working on a couple of things. We are working hard on a couple of things, trying to get things figured out. Go ahead and recap how the market's closed. We'll get back to the conversation with Craig after that.
Yep. Well, I've got July hard red winter wheat 3 cents lower, 484 today. July soft red firmed a penny and a quarter to 520 3/4. May corn futures were 2 1/4 cents higher at 313. December corn closed at 334 1/4. That's up a quarter cent today. May soybean futures were 4 1/4 cents higher at 838 1/4. November bean futures closed at 846 1/2. That's up 0.75 cents. June live cattle were 1.60 lower, 86.47 1/2. May feeders were 52 1/2 cents higher at 119.60. And June lean hogs fell 1.22 1/2 to 64.27 1/2. There's your quick market recap, I think.
All right.
I'm Davis Michelson.
I think you are too. Thank you, Davis. Appreciate that. All right. Let's get back to the conversation with Craig Van Dyke. Craig is with Top Third Ag Marketing. So, Craig, when I look at what's going on in the spreads in the lean hog market, it sure doesn't appear to me right now that they're anticipating any tighter supplies going forward, even though we are killing sows right now.
I would agree. It's the market, I think, is scared to take on that risk in the backside at the moment until we work out of until we were able to work out of this situation, the processing situation, which has been a bottleneck for both cattle and hogs. But if we can get out of this, by summer time frame, at least get killing capacity back towards, 85-90% of normal. Right now, both beef and pork current capacity is down about 35-40%. We're euthanizing, we're boarding sows, and hog slaughter is up big. So if we can start to normalize by the end of summer, we might be looking at a little bit tighter numbers towards the back end of the year, as well as maybe first quarter of next year. So it gives us some positive light to work on. Obviously, things are changing by the day and in a big way lately. So plenty can happen between now and then. But if we want to try to assess the situation now, looking out on those further months, especially with where foreign demand has been, if we can get things back to more normal domestically, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Now, talking about cattle, You know, it's a little bit different scenario. We're not really at the same stage in cattle as we are hogs. You know, we can push cattle down the road a little bit further. It's a longer process. You know, so like Joe had mentioned, I agree. We need to see wholesale beef prices start to come back down, which tells us that, okay, we're starting to actually move the product again. And we're starting to see the rationing of beef supplies. You know, you mentioned today Wendy's was the big one. You know, you're starting to see the products not be there. And without, you know, with the whole supply chain being in flux, you know, you make forward contracting, forward purchases for both beef and cattle that much more difficult to try to assess. And, you know, the cattle situation now is, you know, we're backing up. You know, we're starting to move towards, you know, roughly a million head of cattle. You know, we're starting to back this thing up big, and I'm afraid that's going to loom, you know, likely until the end of the year. So you're at a little bit different stages in the pork and beef situation as far as where hogs are at and what we can do versus, you know, where cattle is at and what we can do with that as well. So, you know, and it's the bottleneck of processing. And that is, there's a lot of hate, and I'm not here to defend, you know, the packing side. I'm not here to defend retailers.
Right.
Everybody's hurting. It's a big problem as far as.
There is nothing pretty, you know, on that side of it right now, Craig. That is for
sure. That's right. That's right. Packers want to optimize as well, just as the producer does. But hopefully, you know, maybe something good and bigger comes out of all of this mess. But, you know, we're, in my opinion, we're a long ways from, you know, from really seeing a whole lot of excitement, in my opinion, in the cattle market without processing moving. So,
And
I really wish they wouldn't call it a meat shortage. At the end of the day, it's a processing shortage. I really wish they would emphasize that in the BDA.
You know, and sometimes on the mainstream media, you see them get it so right. And you just go, oh, my gosh, great job explaining what is going on. And then the next time you see it, it's just wrong.
And
it varies. They'll talk about hogs one way, beef another. They'll talk about dairy one way and hogs another. When it's all that bottleneck that you just described, Craig, and it's so frustrating.
Right. Unfortunately, it's simple. We know what the problem is. That's simple.
Yeah.
Fixing it is complex.
Right.
And I don't know what that answer is. I sure as heck hope we can find it.
You know,
but hopefully at the end of the day, we can pull through something better, you know, once we come out of this tunnel.
Right. Right. You know, they're doing their best. They're doing their best. And what I mean, I'm talking about feed yards to put those steers and heifers, the fat cattle, on hold. The finishing houses for hogs doing the same thing. They're doing their best to put those animals on hold. But like you said, on the cattle side of things, Craig, we're getting close to 2 weeks worth of backup marketings, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Little less.
On the hog side of things, the alternative to this is unattractive, to say the least, and it's happening more than what I think people believe. So the backup in hogs there's going to be a backup in hogs, but it's not going to be a 2 week kind of deal, is it?
No, because when you look at the dynamics of both markets, it's that, you know, we can turn around hogs a heck of a lot quicker. You know, the cattle process is a lot more drawn out and a lot more complex than the hog side of the equation. And that to me is, you know, why we've seen this strength in the hog market recently. I kind of been scratching my head a little bit because, you know, at the end of the day, there's almost no cash market for both hogs and cattle. So, you know, trying to interpret the daily moves in the futures is, you know, flip a coin, good luck.
Exactly.
And the cattle situation, there's no bid. And, you know, where's a market with no bid? Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Right. Okay. Planting progress. More than half the corn crop planted by May 3rd. Like, we're behind 20 since 2000. I think we're behind 2012 and 2015. This is a pretty remarkable pace we're on.
It's been on fire. We've had fantastic conditions in, you know, most parts of the country. We've been flying along, and weather's given a few issues in a few specific areas, but my God, we're in the exact opposite situation this year than we were last year. And, you know, I think you'll probably start hearing the conversation of, well, this type of situation might spur some type of weather problem, you know, into the summer. But, you know, there's not a lot of weather premium built in, you know, for the corn market or really for any of the markets, as far as I'm concerned. There's not a lot in wheat as well. But, you know, without ethanol, that's a third of demand. With less animals being produced, that's a lot less feed. Yeah. Corn needs a rally in energies if we want to get excited. Corn needs ethanol back online in a big way. I'm a bit frustrated or nervous that, you know, the administration, the leadership has really been lacking guidance as far as how we're going to work ourselves out of this. I would just like to see some more guidance and, you know, what are they going to do to help fix the issue that we're in? And without it, ag is going to be in a bad way by the end of the year, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. 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 It certainly could be. We could improve from where we're at right now, Craig, and in a lot of cases, it'd still be a bad way.
Of course, yeah.
I mean,
I hate to be negative. I absolutely hate it. But this is a year where, you know, you have to lower expectations. And like I said, negative $40 crude. Don't think corn can't be under $3 in a hurry here. Don't think beans can't be under $8 in a hurry here. I mean, yeah. The risk here is tremendous, and it's I think hard to emphasize now when we're kind of all still maybe a little bit of deer in the headlights because a lot of this has happened so fast, and we're busy planting.
But that's why you were talking about taking a systematic approach to your analysis. Stick with what you know and manage the risk that you know is there.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's the only way to manage it right now, and it just helps remove the emotion. And then, you know, then we got to talk on the money side, what you're capable, able of doing to make it work. And, you know, so, I mean, getting some cheap floors under corn, you know, yes, I think there's some premium here. I think if, you know, in the next 2 months, we still have some excitement, but, you know, God, we need crude up to $50 a barrel, you know, to really get things going. And we need it to be steady, consistent, and the market needs to truly believe in the optimism before I think you're going to see big risk takers willing to get carried away on the long side.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Craig, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you so much for your time today. And I'm not going to wait so long next time. I need to get you back on more often, okay?
I appreciate the time, Chip. Enjoy your day.
You too, buddy. That is Craig Van Dyke. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Craig. Okay, when we come back, we're going to put a wrap on the conversation that we had with Craig, go back to that second segment, and try to pull some of the highlights out of that one.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on, for our family and yours.
Welcome back, everyone, to AgriTalk. We got our problem solved, Davis. That was a good thing.
Good thing today.
So, you that may have missed the news, that may have missed the second segment, which was the first segment with Craig Van Dyke, download the AgriTalk app. That's going to be the best way to hear that. You can also go to agritalk.com, listen to it online there. Had a little problem with the satellite hookup.
We did. You're talking about download the AgriTalk app, go to agritalk.com. That all sounds very expensive. This must cost an arm and a leg to listen to the show that way, right?
It is surprisingly free.
Really? That affordable?
Really? Yes, it absolutely is. And in this case, the app,
yeah. Uh-huh.
The app is worth a lot more than what you pay for it. Okay.
Oh, is that one of them value added type deals?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you can not only get AgriTalk, you also get Farming the Countryside. Andrew McRae. Stop it with that. The Countryside with Andrew McRae. You've got that. So there's all there are different you've got Signal to Noise with Jim Wiesmeyer, John Harith. There are other podcasts available on the AgriTalk app. So that's a great way to check it out. So don't forget that. You can also get Ag Day. And since it is a free check, Big Apple Joe Stackler, the producer, says that you can go ahead and make the checks payable to him. And he would be happy to take payment on the app.
Wrap that check for nothing in $20 bills and send it off to Big Apple Joe.
Yeah, right. Right. Bitbold Up on Demand. I said it in the open. And Craig kind of brought it up a couple of times that there are some reasons, not right now, but there are some reasons looking forward when you see a return to energy demand. Of energy use and what that might mean for the corn market going forward. That's number two in a row that has said, listen, if we're going to watch one thing and one thing only for what may get the funds to cover shorts, what might support the corn market going forward. Second guest in a row. Yesterday it was Brian Splitt that said, you know what, you got to look straight over to the energy market, and that's where the support for this corn market is going to come from, at least in the short term.
Okay.
It's interesting to see the energy market and the equity markets trend together.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the energy market is feeding off of the good vibes that, hey, we are starting to get back to work. Don't you think, Davis?
I would buy that for sure. Energy markets as a sentiment indicator. That's not bad. June heating oil right now at 89.5. June unleaded gas, that's your RBOB, at 90 cents. So they're still neck and neck on the day. Both of them up, having a pretty good day. What about crude oil? Here we go. I make it up $3.98 in the June crude, 24.37 right now.
Yeah. It's something's like definitely happening there. Advance.
Something's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're getting some mojo back, and I think that's hopefully is going to be a good thing going forward. I don't want to bring people down here at the end of the show, but I do have to give a shout out to the people that are having to make an extremely difficult decision, and that is to euthanize some market ready hogs, some fat hogs. We know it's happening. I do not envy anybody involved in the process. I'll just say that from the decision making to the carrying out to the disposal, thinking about you all, doing something that nobody wants to do, but I think we know in many cases needs to be done. So we are thinking about you. That just want you to know that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. 6 to 10 day weather outlook. This is for May 11th through the 15th. We've got those below normal temperatures just hanging on right into the middle of the month. We've got below normal precipitation expected in the northern production areas, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, northern Iowa, most of Wisconsin, and then normal through the eastern Corn Belt and back into southern Iowa and Nebraska. And then we get some moisture pushing up from the southwest, some above normal precip opportunities coming in through the Panhandle region into Kansas, Missouri. Some of those people I know in Missouri, there's some wet areas there that they would just as soon see the rain stay away. But for now, good grief. we've got an opportunity there. Now, the below normal temperatures for the 8 to 14 day, and this is for May 13th through the 19th, they start to push out. They start to push out. A little bit lower odds of below normal temperatures, but it's still covering up most of the Corn Belt. And the above normal precipitation moves back into the Corn Belt. The exception is the northwest areas of the northwest production areas. So something to keep an eye on.
Okay. Sounds like it's going to get chilly around here this weekend.
Yeah, it does. There's even the potential for some freezing temperatures to dip down into Iowa, Nebraska, some of the winter wheat area. This is when we should be out there doing the winter wheat tour. But remember, it was just a couple of years ago that they were out doing that. The Wheat Quality Council was out doing the tour in early May, and they were having to move snow before they could get out the wheat tillers. Remember that? Oh, man, that was ugly. That was so ugly. Just a reminder again, if you did not catch the first half of the show today, download the AgriTalk app or go to agritalk.com, and we've got the feed going there for you. Hey, for Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we've got Alan Hoskins from American Farm Mortgage and a Farmer Forum. And tomorrow afternoon, Chad Hart from Iowa State University, right here on AgriTalk.